Welcome to Creating Cash Flow for March 13th, 2023. Karen Eileen is a cash flow cat. She's a voiceover coach, radical self-care speaker as well. And she had a victory of going through her bills and radically slashing and finding creative ways to bring those numbers down. One example, Hulu from $240 a year to $90 a year. Yay!
Snap! Snap! Snap!
So your question is, where is spirit intuition factored into the pain power cycle? Mm-hmm. So I want you to talk about this first. What are your thoughts on this?
So I am seeing as I'm going through the course that so much of my decision making has been very heavy on the emotion and a little light on the logic. And the place that I want to build a space for is what I like to call spirit or intuition. I'm a God girl, so I do believe that the universe sort of points us or guides us, and there's that information available. And I understand that in a broad sweeping global course, maybe there's not a space for that framework, but I'd love to include it. So it seems like a third factor, and I'm not exactly sure where to put it, or if just while I get my training wheels, it needs to be completely off deck. Yeah.
Oh, your spirit and intuition should never be completely off deck.
Okay.
I think it's a big factor. Where are you seeing the dissonance or the clash that's making you feel like, wait, there's no room here for that?
I guess I feel like logic is all my brain power, like brain, like neutral, like no emotion involved, just the facts. The facts are these numbers are coming in, these numbers are going out. I spent this many hours this week. That's logic, mm-hmm. Very sort of clinical and dry, but the reality, like a test of reality. Emotion, of course, we all know is like, oh my God, this feels great or this feels terrible. So nowhere in there, like I don't know where to put the, I'm going to get quiet and I'm going to listen for some internal guidance. Like, so does that inform both logic and emotion or only logic? I don't even know if I'm asking this question in a way that,
I think I get what you're saying.
Okay.
So Miata's presenting things with the pain and power cycle. Yeah. And of course the money management course is very heavy.
Yes.
On having people sit down and really get real and really look at your numbers, which can be so painful.
Yes, I'm in the middle of that. Yes.
Right. So, and then emotions come up. Mm-hmm. So where the intuition fits to my mind is it's another input of data.
Oh, that's interesting.
And the numbers and the logic is another input of data. And I think a lot of people, not everybody, but a lot of people who join this program or who are out in the world, especially creatives, the major source of input of data is their emotional temperature.
Yes.
Of like, oh, I'm going to take my emotional temperature. This was a good week. Or it was a bad week. And they're taking the emotional temperature of how they're doing based on mostly feelings.
How they're feeling.
Sometimes comparison to other people. Like, oh, well, that didn't happen for me. So now, emotional temperature, I'm not doing well. And what is helpful is to have other sources of data in the mix, so that the emotional temperature can really kind of be moved off the table. Because I've had so many clients where when we really wrote down everything they did in a month, they're like, oh, and I'm like, yeah, but the emotional temperature wasn't matching that because of other things that had happened, or they were thrown off by somebody's comment or whatever. But it's like, no, all of this is good. All of this is moving the needle. You are doing fine.
Okay.
Because you could be earning the number that you need in a month and still feel like crap.
Oh yeah, I don't want any of that.
Right. But a lot of people think, oh, the money, just more money is going to affect my emotional temperature. And as long as I have money either coming in or in the bank, I'll feel great. Wow. And we all have many examples of that not being the case.
Right.
So I think Miata and I are very much, let's move away from just checking our emotional feeling about our money. And let's look at the data, but let's also work on our mindset. So we can calm the emotion, but also part of mindset, because when you start getting into like, oh, there's multiple other stories I can tell about this. So then instead of just going with the story that stirs up my emotion or going with the story that attracts me the most with my emotion, let me look at all the different stories and check in with myself of what feels better, more true, more helpful, more useful, more in line with the other inputs of data from the logical part. So your intuition and all the work you've been doing to strengthen those muscles and get a relationship with your own gut and your ability to communicate with source, whatever you call that. That's one input of data. And now with this course, you're learning to get another input of data that is just as hefty and real, because the numbers don't lie.
No.
But neither does your true messaging from source. That doesn't lie either.
So it's quiet. When
it doesn't speak in paragraphs, you know, but it doesn't lie.
I'm thinking in particular of tracking in the beginning, an exercise that Miata does in mindset about, think of a decision where the way you spent your money didn't go the way you wanted, and the thoughts connected, and to put either an E for emotion and an L for logic next to each outcome. And so my question to you is like, is intuition, are you suggesting that intuition gets an L for logic? Do I do a separate one, I for intuition?
I think the reason she's not mentioning that is because not everybody has cultivated.
I see.
Not everybody can hear their intuition yet.
I see. Okay. Okay.
That happens to different people, different parts of their life.
Okay. Got it.
And I think she's not mentioning that because she really is trying to draw a clear distinction with people for what's emotional and what's data, logic, logic. So I think that's just an exercise for people who really need to be like, oh, I see clearly.
Okay.
You have done a lot of work on yourself. So you're massaging this with a finer grit of sandpaper than perhaps is being sort of, let's start with this grit of sandpaper.
Got it. I got it. That makes sense to me. Okay.
So this is for everybody. When you're going through any course or listening to any instructor, you want to be filtering all of that through your gut. You want to cultivate a relationship with your gut, and that is built on experimentation and trust. So you can start to, trust the little messages you're getting. But once you've built that, you want to filter it all, because you can't just go, oh, this is the message and it's meant for me. It's like, maybe, but maybe they're not really talking to you right now.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. That's a good reminder.
Every once in a while, it is very much okay to be like, that's not for me. I'm past that, or that's not my issue, or I get it. It's okay to go, it's not for me.
Interesting.
You don't want to have your arms closed and that nothing in life is for you. Nothing is for me. It's like some things are going to be for you, but discernment, that's our job as individuals, is like, okay. And there are going to be some things in life where you discern based on the information you have, you're like, that's not for me. And, you know, a couple of years later, you're like, oh God, that was so for me. Yeah. I just wasn't ready to hear it.
Yeah. Yeah. And my discernment, I have some growing to do in terms of my discernment specifically around money and cash. So I don't quite trust it, which is why I'm like taking at the whole cloth, whatever Miata is giving out at the moment.
Try it on for size.
Yeah.
And that's how you know if something fits. You have to try it on for size. My stylist taught me that because I was one who's like, I don't like that. She's like, try it on, try it on, try it on.
Yeah, I love your sparkle happening today.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Karen Eileen. That was good. Good one.
Okay. Awesome.
Okay. Ileana? Hello. So we've got this cash flow kitten who's a digital organization consultant supporting clients with building systems that are custom tailored to their needs, preferences, and personal priorities. So last time we talked about framing your resume for this job that you're applying for. How do you take all your weird creative experience and put it into terms that a tech company might find valid? Good news, got an interview. Woohoo! Interesting news, you're interviewing with someone who you knew from college who wasn't the kindest to you back then. When I was a computer science major, he was part of a contingent that was dismissive of my intelligence and minimized my work, especially as a woman of color in the field. I'm fairly sure he has no memory of any prickliness, but as I was applying for the job, I realized, oh, I still feel a little swept up in those attitudes I encountered last time we were in Dutch. I remembered you. Yeah. So you have several questions, and let me just read. So one of the things is you're not intending, of course, to hold his actions from 6 years ago against him. You don't have like hard feelings, but you want to make sure you're not taking any bitterness or defensive energy into the call. How do we approach that? Okay, so that's a question. And you appreciate that anytime the word playwriting comes out of your mouth in the interview, you need to tie it back to do what they do at Notion. Anything along those lines, you know, would be good to know. And then also, you're mindful that this interview is your opportunity to assess if you think that they're a good fit for you. Absolutely. That is definitely part of this. So any thoughts on what to keep an eye out for, what would constitute a red flag? And the job posting didn't include any details about pay or the time expectation. So is that something I should plan to ask about at this stage? The answer to that is definitely. You are here to get all as much of the information as you possibly can so that you can decide, would this be a yes or no for you? Mm-hmm. They're trying to do the same. What information do we need to know about her so we can kind of decide if we're going to be a good match? And that's what you're deciding as well. So you are coming with questions and they are coming with questions. And it's so common for the person being interviewed to not have any questions because you're just like, oh, just pick me. I will be who you want to be. And it's like, oh, that. No, unnecessary. We really want to see if this is a good match. So the first thing I want to talk about is the energy of like, oh God, I'm going to get on this call with this person that I have residue with. There's just a little bit of residue. So one thing, I'm sure you have some tools that you can center yourself and, you know, but one of the things that popped into my mind is so often, if the angels came down and said, hey, would you like a do-over? Would you like to go back in time with everything you now know and just kind of do that over again? Because of course you'd be able to handle yourself better. You'd be, of course you would. Now, when some people would get that invitation, they'd be like, oh yeah, I want to go back because I want to skewer that puppy. Like, and a job interview isn't a great place to take that opportunity, but the do-over you could bring to this is I get to be with this person again in my full power now. And the interesting thing about ownership of yourself, your power, your skills, your ability, when you truly own that, it's not flashy because you own it. So you don't need anybody else to see it. You might want other people to see it, but you don't need the validation. You don't need anything from this person, from them specifically. Like, yeah, I mean, you want it to be a good interview, but you don't need anything from them. So this is a personal. So what you want to do is make this a personal opportunity for you. Nothing to do with them, but oh, I get to come into the presence of somebody, such a different person than I was back then. And that will be cleansing for you. This is fascinating to me, Ileana. I'll let you speak in a minute, but that this whole rollout of this one opportunity is like giving you moment after moment, you can unmute yourself, moment after moment of like, hey, you want to learn how to talk about your creative stuff? Well, here's the opportunity. Oh, hey, how would you like to sense how you've grown? We can give you that opportunity. Meet with this guy. So this, if you make it personal about your own growth and your own ability to sit in a room with energy like that, because even if he hasn't done his work, maybe, fingers crossed, not going to bet money on it, but you know, maybe he's done some work and the energy will completely different. That even doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It's that you get to be differently in front of this type of person, not even who he is, because we don't know who he is, but he, based on the past, is a type of person. Mm-hmm. And you get to be, oh, I get to be with a type of person like that very differently than I was. Mm-hmm. And the success of this interview could be measured by how much you enjoy that. Not in a ha-ha way, but just in a like, I am so proud of myself. I'm so proud of myself. Mm-hmm. That would be very successful.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
To have an interview where the criteria isn't, the success isn't whether you get it or impress them, or it's just, ooh, I just want to feel proud of myself. Mm-hmm. So that would be one way to think about it that might release the weirdness and the expectation of, you know, or any defensiveness, because they can't, I mean, unless they're extremely overtly horrid to you,
mm-hmm.
which probably isn't going to happen. You're entering an environment that may not be safe, but it's an environment in which you can keep yourself safe. You see how those are two different things?
Yeah. Ooh,
so
thank you.
Really, how does that land with you?
Huge. Really, 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 really helpful. And I really appreciate what you said about how it seems like there have been a lot of things that have been opportunities to sort of like learn and confront. It's been fascinating. And one of them has been, I've been identifying that this feels connected to a lot of bigger mindset stories about work that came at this moment in college when I decided to drop the computer science major. I came into college, started taking comp sci classes, enjoyed them. And then I got a lot of that flavor of pushback. People would say things to me like, you don't look like a computer science major. And it, what happened in that moment though, was it made me grit down harder. I was like, oh, I don't. And then I like doubled down. But then there was like this moment, it was like the second semester of junior year. And I was trying to get this form in to create this computer science slash film major thing. And I was in like the class in the computer science track that's supposed to break you. And I was so overwhelmed and flooded. It's so interesting that Karen Eileen mentioned the exercise that Miata has you do in the mindset section, which is like, what's a decision that you think you made from the pain cycle looking back? Because that moment was one that I gravitated to. I was like really flooded and upset. I was panicking. I was really panicking. And like, my parents are so supportive of me as an artist. I couldn't be more thankful for that. But that was one moment where they were like, are you going to drop the computer science major? Really? And it brought up all this stuff. And so like, it was a really, really intense thing, but I decided I was going to leave. And the class that was the computer science class that was supposed to break you, I literally left that class for a romantic poetry class at the same time. And I was like, this is where I belong. And I was really, you know, like, in some readings of my life, that totally worked out really well. I completed my English major with the time that I had. I wrote the play that got me into grad school. I went straight from undergrad to grad school, straight from grad school to working full time. And I'm really thankful for that. But especially as I entered the abundance bound space, I came to realize like, oh man, if I had kept that as like a little minor sidecar, like there could have been a whole other world of opportunities that were open to me. And reading about the quit like a millionaire stuff, I was like, that it started to feel all of a sudden like a big missed opportunity. Like, dang it, I could have been in tech. Like I could have been that person. And then I was telling myself the story of like, well, that was a mistake you made then. We can make different choices going forward. And now it's like, wait a minute, tech Eliana could still exist. Like that's still totally in the mix. Like I had been thinking of it as this like wrongdoing that I had learned from. But yeah, I agree with you that it's been really interesting and helpful to help me pick apart all of the things that are attached to the tech space specifically, I think, when it comes to my mindset around what it means to like have a job that's not being an artist. And of course, it's not like the theater world is some bastion of equality by any means. Like, yeah.
Yeah. This feels like a healing moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of resolve. It's almost this fusion of bringing all the parts of your life together. And that's what we really want. We want when all the parts of our life start to intersect, especially if money is also involved, it feels like, oh my God, I'm doing the right thing. And we can each, this is really important for everybody to know. You know, I do speaking events and the person's introducing me, and they're reading my bio. Sometimes they're reading what I give them to say, or sometimes they're, you know, doing it. And it's like, I always have this thought of like, that is one story. That's a great story you could tell about how my life went, but I could write you a bio that would scare the shit out of you wanting advice from me. Clear the room. People be like, well, we're good. I'm going to go enjoy the sunlight instead of spending time in this windowless room with that person. Everybody can do that. And it's like, so what's, and they're both true. They're both true. So which one do you want to go with? Mm-hmm. You know, they're all true. But which one makes you feel like you can get on stage and talk to somebody, you know, which one tells you you can go do this interview, you know? And I don't think this is going to come up, but life is strange. So I think it would be also good for you to sit with on the off chance that he says some comment that he is going to say because he thinks it's, oh, bonding. Remember we were to get, hey, oh, that's right. You dropped out of the program. Like something like that. That would be an instant like, no, I want you to have that conversation. Even on paper would be good because it gets it out of your head before you go into that interview. So This is the line I would least like to hear. And this is going to be my response.
Mm.
Just like you're practicing. If they bring up, so you're a playwright, as in like, how can that, you have a response.
Mm-hmm.
And what your response is always a reframing of like, let me reframe this for you. So you are now looking at this in a different way. I need you to look at this like I see it. I need you to see me. People go into interviews of like, oh, I hope I can be who you want to see. You want to go into an interview going, I will show you how I see myself in this. So then maybe you can see what I see instead of like, oh dear, what do you see? I'm like, no, I'm here to teach you why I think I'm great for this job.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of want to ask yourself the questions that you feel would like make that little feeling in you, in your tummy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, get those on paper. So how am I, what am I going to say? And go through, because you have, you know, the playwriting, the writing, the internship. It's like, how am I going to piece this together verbally mm-hmm. and bring it back to yes, yes. And add, and so language. So you have a lot of playwriting experience. Yes. And what's interesting is what I learned from playwriting that I think applies directly to this position is boop, ba-doop, ba-doop, skills, always go back to skills and strengths. Yes. I developed this particular muscle that I think is really useful. And I think that people who may not have that kind of background won't have coming in. You can feel free to, you can draw shade on people who wouldn't have that, you know, because what I always like to say in interviews, because, you know, I've never had anything traditional to pull from doing any kind of like interview for a job. So I liked to say that I'm of the opinion that I think it's better for companies to hire someone who has the ability to learn and grow quickly and smoothly than someone who might know the things you want us to already know, but be locked in some bad habits that will be harder for them to overcome because they know how to do it. Mm-hmm. Whereas I may not know everything you want me to know, but because of my past, I'm super flexible. I'm quick to learn. I know how to work on a team. I know how to communicate. So all of those things I think will make for a better working relationship. That would be how I'd frame it. And the other thing, and I have used this line in interviews before, is like, you know, the only thing I can promise you is that if you hire me, because everyone was, when they hired me, was always like, so how long are you going to stay? And I'm like, oh, I can't promise you that. Cause I was an actor. So they were sort of like, you know, are you here to do some stuff? Or are you? And I'm like, I don't know how long I will be in the job, but the thing I can tell you is you will be better off for having me here. Should I leave, you will be better positioned than if you hire anybody else. I would say that because, you know, what do I have to lose? Yeah. And here's the other very fascinating thing. You weren't looking for this opportunity. Like, what would you possibly lose here? So this goes to the time and the money part, which they may bring something up, but they may not. I went back and tried to look for it, but I know there are cash flow recordings with a gal named Sarah. I would go back through the archives if you have the time and see if you can find where we started to talk. I think it was in November is the first time I talked to her. So go back and start in November and you'll hear her voice. And because we talked through the whole, she interviewed for two, like I dissected it and like gave some really strong advice. And so that's, I know that's in there, talking about money, talking about, so scan it for anything that says like a job or interview, look for those words in the descriptions. But here's the thing. How much do you want? Ask for the most. You have to ask for more. And if they go, well, the range is between, I'm just pulling numbers. Like the range is between 30 and 40,000 for whatever. You'd be like, oh, okay. Well, you know, I was thinking of 45, but like, because a dude's going to do that. Mm-hmm. There's also a posting inside the community that I posted. So you can search, I believe, for my posts in the open forum section of the Abundance Bound community. And it's a podcast episode with a gal who I believe was working in tech about her some not so great experiences, but she talks about money and she talks about what the other guys were getting and what she was. And it just is like, yep. Yeah. So find that. It's from the FI podcast.
Oh yeah, I saw that one. Okay, great.
Okay, so that will give you some also good things. But just be like, ask for the most. And then, so you want to ask for the most, but you also want to go, oh, I don't want it any lower than this. Mm-hmm. But that's not the number you tell them. You are like, if we go down to this number, I'm still fucking happy because this is the number I would, and it's not the number you'd do it for. It's mm-hmm. the number you'd be happy to do it for. Yeah. And so that is, hold on. Oh, okay. So that's the number you want to have. You want to have these two numbers. Like, this is my happy number. Fine. And then let's see how much more above my happy number I can get. And then anything above your happy number, you're good. Mm-hmm. But you won't do it for less than that because you could go do other things. Mm-hmm. And so there's no morality around your base number. Because in some people's position, it's like, I just need work and I will work for this and I will be happy to get this. And that is fine. It's not about getting the most for the sake of winning. It's just like, you need to exercise everyone, but women especially, or anyone brought up conditioned to be a female, needs to exercise the muscle of asking for way more than you think could possibly get. Mm-hmm. You just need to practice that anyway. So is this an hourly thing? Is it a salary thing?
I have no idea.
Okay, yeah. So you want to ask, and you, if it's a weird, because sometimes the interview people, it's weird. And sometimes they won't be, this might be a first interview and they're not going to do the money conversation on this interview. But if you're feeling weird and like they're asking you for a number, but they're not telling you any, you can be like, let me go back and think about that. Do you have a range?
Great.
You do not have to give them every answer in the room, especially because they haven't told you anything about money. So it's not like you're pressured to say anything. And as long as one of the things that I think is the most important interview skill, especially unfortunately for women, is a neutral tone. You need to practice a nice neutral tone because boy, for reasons we all understand, but nice neutral. You're just doing business. Yeah. Let me go back and think about that. I'm not playing hardball. I'm just my tone. I'm just going to think about that. Or I'm going to, talk to my lawyer or whatever. Yeah, just nice neutral tone. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. That's great. And because I really don't think we could even understand what you would want because we don't know how many hours they're even asking of you. And not just how many hours, but like, are you on call? Do you get to pick the hour and fit the hours into your schedule? Like, what's the deal? So I think this is just sort of a what's the deal kind of interview.
That's great. Yeah, I was struggling with how to, the job posting just said contractor. So like no details about time, no details about money. And there was also one thing that flagged for me a little, oh, sorry. I was a turf, you were jumping in.
I will continue your thought.
One thing that flagged for me is in the job description, there was a thing that was like, what you'll need to bring. And it was like scrappiness and an ability to work outside the box and possibly outside of the lines of the job. And it's like, okay. Mm. It felt a little bit yellow flaggy. So yeah, it's good to know that this is probably, it's also a 30-minute call. So it tracks to me that this would maybe be round one level setting. I hope that there will be some kind of description of what they expect the job, or I'll ask about what the job.
Yeah, you can. So let's say it's like 30 minutes and we've gone along and they've asked you about playwriting and, you know, all that stuff. And you go, I'm just wondering, is there any parameters around the hours and the money that I should start thinking about? And they may or may not give it to you, but ask, for sure ask. Yeah. The word contractor probably means you're a freelancer that they're hiring and they might ask you what your rate is. Mm. You don't have to answer necessarily. You can say, well, that's based on some variables. So what kind is the time commitment? What's the job description? Like you can go into that. You don't have to give them an answer. You do not ever, this is for everybody. You never have to answer a question that's asked of you. You never have to. There is no obligation, even in an interview. We're all adults here. You can get around the question. You can ask a question back to a question. You don't have to answer something that's asked of you. And go, let me think about that. I'll get back to you on that. You know, if you feel really uncomfortable. But anyway, So you can be like, oh, there's variables in how I set my rates. And so I need to know a little bit more. Is there a range that you're looking at or hoping for? And by the way, they're never going to tell you the range they can afford. They're going to tell you the range they're hoping for. So just know that there is room on that other side of that. Mm-hmm. Just know that. That's why you always ask for the top, because their top is not their top. Mm-hmm. Just like your top is not your bottom. It's just sort of, you know, that's what a negotiation is. And there's nothing wrong with negotiation. It's healthy. It's fine. Yeah.
That's great. I have one other little tiny question, just technical. Because it's a contractor, does that mean that the numbers we're talking about are not tax withheld numbers?
My guess is yes. Correct.
Good to know, because that changes all the numbers.
Yeah. You have to factor that
in. No benefits.
Yeah. Correct. Pardon, Brandon?
No benefits as well. Is that correct?
Probably. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the time thing, you do, like, let's say you're loving it. The numbers are great. And before you say the definitive yes, you really want to be clear on what the expectations are, what the job description is, and down the line, when you're getting into that conversation of the nitty gritty, we want you, blah, 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 is how do you track if your expectations are being met?
Mm.
What are those metrics? Because it better not be how quickly I respond to your text, because that's not how I live my life. Like, I'll fail at any job that it's like, we need quick response. It's like, yeah, no, my adrenal system is not yours, you know? So, but that's for, we can talk about that later. Oh, this is exciting.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Good. So definitely listen to that podcast episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you. This was great. Great. Okay. Let's see. Sarah, are you here? Sarah.
Hello.
Oh, there you are. I don't know why. Okay. Awesome. So Sarah is a cash flow kitten and she's got thoughts and she's got questions and I love it. You wrote your victory, moving forward, feeling like it's possible. That is a huge victory.
Yeah. Cause it hasn't felt like that sometimes in the past.
I'm really, really happy. It's starting to feel like, ooh, we're turning that possibility corner.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to have the support, you know, I think that's what it is too.
Oh yeah. Borrow my confidence in you anytime. Okay. So let's see. You'd like a little help clarifying your offering and pricing. And then if you should just focus on commercial coaching versus theatrical, and then adding to your offer a creative accountability mastermind thing. Okay. This is awesome. First thing first, uh-huh. I'd like to help get clarification on my offering and pricing. I'm thinking of offering acting coaching and commercial coaching on Zoom, 15 minutes and 30 minutes. Theatrical auditions, but also offering a specialty on coaching on commercial copy. And you're like, should I just focus on commercial coaching? I've been in a million commercials, over 40. That's about a million. And you have some running now. I also want to include theatrical coaching and or line running, reading, but unsure if this is complicating my offering. You're already working on We Audition, but don't like how low the rates are. And then you want to make this worthwhile, because you're a mama of two. So you're limited to school and daytime out when the kids are in school. And you're the top booker at your commercial agency and feel qualified to charge the most on commercial coaching. Theatrical coaching, you'd love to include it, but you don't feel like you have an MFA. And you tried doing a side hustle being an audition reader years ago, but didn't get far. So you're feeling kind of insecure. And then maybe you also want to have a creative accountability mastermind online group for women, not just actors, but new mamas who are trying to start something or change careers, following the ideas of the Artist Way and creating a group to be invested in. We're going to talk about that second. Okay. Yeah. So where are you?
I just like, I was just brainstorming a bunch of ideas, and I keep coming back to this coaching thing, because that's why I feel like the easiest way through, you know, like I brainstorm a bunch of like business ideas and this and that, but I feel like, you know, I know a lot of actors. I know a lot of actors who could most likely use a lot of help on commercials. There's not a lot of commercial coaching out there for like, you know, self-tape. So it feels like you're in this vacuum, you're just like doing this thing, but like create a little story and like, you know, do a little improv at the end. Like I have a lot of ideas on how, just like tiny little tips that'll hopefully get you out of your head and just like break it open a little bit more for you.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also, and I also like, I'm growing my theatrical career right now. So, you know, and I just got my first guest star. So I just feel like maybe I'm not qualified or, you know, I don't know. It's, but I've been acting for, you know, almost like 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, of course I'm qualified. Like I've taken a million acting classes. I know a million different techniques. I know what works for me and makes me feel safe. And yeah, it's just more of a confidence thing, I think, than anything else. Because I also want to make it worth my while. And we audition, I realize like, I don't want to work for, you know, $30 an hour or whatever. Like, I don't have that kind of, doesn't feel like an incentive for me to. And I, you know, like I've been working as an actor, both theatrically and commercially, only as an actor for the past 6 years. So I know what the grind is, like the working actor grind is. But, you know, with the strikes coming up and everything, I'm like, okay, let me just start my side hustle business now. It's a good time. So, which also means that, you know, there's not as many opportunities for actors. So maybe I'm limiting myself if I just do coaching. Yeah, just thoughts. Just lots of thoughts.
Oh, I love it. No. I love how your brain is thinking. I definitely feel if you're feeling a little magnetic pull towards the coaching, we should definitely explore it.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Okay.
You'll learn stuff about yourself from exploring it.
Okay.
The women's group, that is a great thing, especially going into a possible strike. It's like, oh, this is good. Cause this is like, how do we control our minds through this, you know, just ups and downs, whether you're an actor or not, but this new motherhood and career.
Yeah.
A group that supports people who are actively trying to do their best at both.
Yeah.
How do you do your best at both? I mean, that's kind of the marketing thing. It's like, oh, the tug of war. There's a tug of war. There's a like, I don't feel good at this, which makes me feel like, am I good at anything? So there's the demoralization that happens. Then there's like, I really want to get ahead and I don't want to resent my kids. I don't want to feel like this was a choice that weighed me down. This is issues people need to get together and chat about, like for sure. So I think that that's really potent if you feel you can be the facilitator for that kind of thing.
Yeah, it is. It is like, cause I've been in part of like postpartum groups, like both times I had kids and even with the second one, it was during COVID. So, and I see so many new moms, like I just had one career throughout, but so many people like wanting to change careers, wanting to change up their lives, wanting to grow a business, wanting to do this. And a friend and I've already talked about just doing a mastermind group, but then I'm like, why don't I just charge for it and like lead it? Because I've been in this, I know what it's like to like look for something to adjust, to change, to integrate it into my life and to also juggle marriage, family, kids, blah, blah, you know? So I do.
And here's, so when you're marketing that, mm-hmm. one of the pieces of little copy is, why pay for this? Can't you just get together with a few of your friends?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is the center, you know. If you've ever tried that, the center doesn't hold. It's too easy for groups to just disband. And we need a little skin in the game. And I am here to be the gravitational center around this so that you can get the consistency of support that you deserve and that you need.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is what they're paying for. So the group will stick together. Totally. And it needs that force in the middle.
Yeah. And I've already done it for my groups in the past, but then I don't have enough incentive because I'm like, well, what's the point? You know, like I'm good at bringing people together, but yeah. So I'm already doing it. So mm-hmm. why not just have more people, you know, mm-hmm. invest
so in it? Yeah. Now that we're on this topic, which is fine. Okay. So, how often do you want to meet in a month? How long do you want those meetings to be?
I would love to do it weekly. And depending on how many people are there, but 1.5 to 2 hours. I can't imagine like, you know, just starting out with a small group.
Okay.
I'm totally basing this off of my like postpartum. Like I was in a UCLA program after like in COVID, and you know they have this like it's basically for postpartum depression, like it's a therapy group, but like mm-hmm. they did everything online, and it was like it was something I was just like, oh, I don't know if this is, but it became this like beautiful thing that just kind of held all of us together, and just I don't know, I just feel like it's so healing and it's so helpful to have a community of people who are going through the same thing, supporting each other. And yeah.
Yeah. And so in your marketing, mm-hmm. you go, the reason we meet mm-hmm. whatever many times a month, 3 times a month, 4 times, the reason we have multiple meetings a month is because I know you're going to miss some because that's life.
Yeah.
And I want you to feel like, oh, but there's enough opportunity to get what I need to get. And sometimes you'll have more intense months where you'll want to meet more. And then some months maybe you'll pop in. So this is something that isn't heavy in your life. It should feed you. I hope you will want to come. But we're all adults here, and you can use this as the tool that you need.
Okay.
Got it. That's how you can text, because some people will be like, every fucking week, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, you can't please everybody. You have to design something for you. What can you do consistently? Now, the way the calendar is that some months have 5 weeks. So I don't like anyone to design a group that's monthly that says we meet every week, 4 weeks a month. And then 3-4 times a year, there will be a week that you're off.
Yeah. Okay.
But my question to you is, would you rather meet 3 times a month so that every month you have a week off?
Yeah. Three times a month.
So then I would make it the first 3 weeks of the month, because that's just easy for everybody to remember.
Yeah.
We meet the first 3 Tuesdays of the month, the first blah, blah, blah of the month, the first blah, blah, blah of the month. Mm-hmm. And you pick the date and time that you feel you can be most consistently, because you have to show up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then do you have a feeling for how many people you'd want in the group?
The number that comes to mind is like 4 or 5 to start.
Oh, so teeny, so intimate. So that's the word you use in your marketing. Yes. Very intimate group. Yes. How much do you want them to pay you?
I have no idea. I haven't thought this far.
Well, what if you're going to have it, you know, 90 minutes to 2 hours. So you're looking at 4.5 hours to 6 hours plus 2 for admin. So max, like, so you're looking somewhere, you're going to be spending 6 to 8 hours on this a month. So what do you want to get?
$100 an hour.
Okay. So that's okay. So let's take, so let's just do the max. So that's $800. Mm-hmm. Then you would divide it between five members. Mm-hmm. So they would pay you 160 a month, or $600 divided by five, because I do remedial math, 120. So what do you feel people can pay? The type of people that you want to be in this group?
I feel like I want people who have a little skin in the game, you know, like who are not just like, oh, why not? Because like,
yes,
the idea of sustain, like living a sustainable creative life is so interesting to me. I just started a blog about it just for fun. But like, yeah, so it does feel expensive, like, oh my God. But then at the same time, it kind of feels like, yeah, 120 to 160 a month is like, I think could work, because divided by three, it's like $60 a session, and you're getting some, you know. Yeah, I just got like overwhelmed with like, oh my God, how am I gonna do this? What's gonna happen? Like, like how am I gonna lead?
What feels over, oh, what are you gonna lead?
Yeah, like the curriculum. Like,
what is your area of greatest concern? What is your area of greatest, like?
Like a participation and involvement, you know, I think. Mm-hmm. And getting people interested and involved, like, you know, because all the groups that I've met online, it's like everyone's there because, you know, they have to be. They feel like they have to be. But
did the people in the postpartum group feel like they had to be there?
Oh, no, I guess not. I mean, you know, like some of us were at a really like extreme positions to be like, okay, we really need help, you know? So,
well, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. The people who are going to want to pay over $100 mm-hmm. to belong to a group, they're looking for a group. Okay. They don't have that. Okay. They don't have the intimacy. Maybe they belong to bigger groups and they want more intimacy. Maybe they want to meet some people,
yeah.
some other mothers, but that aren't sitting around in a circle talking about their kids
exactly.
the whole time.
Right.
You know, like this group is focused on you. Not you, the mom, it's just you.
Right. And the accountability that we can bring every time we meet, like, yeah. okay, this is what I'm going to do.
Some people are looking for accountability. So they're bringing, and in your marketing, you talk to what you believe their motivations are, mm-hmm. but you're not convincing anybody. And this is for everybody. Whatever your service or whatever it is, you're not convincing anybody. You're describing something and helping them decide if it matches. They do the convincing. They convince themselves this is worth this much money. And if you're hitting the right bruises in them, oh, right, I want to meet friends. Oh, I want a sense of community. Oh, I want some accountability. Oh, it would be so great to just talk, not just about my kids, with groups of mothers. You know, like, they will convince themselves that it is worth that much. If you are communicating the value, they will convince themselves the price is right. That's not your job.
Okay. Yeah. I think like listening to you kind of clarify like, oh, the benefits of this. And like, yes, that's exactly what I would have wanted, you know, and I would like to. Yeah, to lead as a group, to be able to talk about myself as a human being and my wants and desires and what I want to grow and do. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you, as a facilitator, mm-hmm. will pick some sort of little structure, and you can always change it.
Okay.
You can always change it. And it needs to have a beginning, a middle, and an end. One of the things I heard Brene Brown does, like when her team meetings get together, they go around the room and everybody checks in and says the one word that best applies to where they're at in the moment, you know, exhausted, angry, like whatever, not even negative. It could be joyful. It could be just, you want something where everybody can hear their voice immediately.
Okay.
One thing I did with my act, because I led mastermind groups for actors for many years.
Wow.
Every single month for 20 consecutive years. And we started with victory reports. Okay, who's got them? It's just like, okay. And that is a, you want a way to start so that the people who are a few minutes late don't feel like, oh, I missed the, I'm not. It's like I said, this is how we start. We're doing, going around, and everybody who wanted to contribute could hear their voice heard. Great. So then you have to decide, okay, how do we structure the middle? Does everyone now get 5 minutes to, or 15 or whatever? Or is it just more of like, let's talk about this? Or do people submit kind of like, ooh, I would love to talk about this, like in a future group? Like, does a group have a topic that you guys are talking about or not?
Yeah.
And so whatever middle, and it might be that you sort of experiment until you guys hit on what feels like works, and then you need an end. So I talk about in the creating cash flow thing, the golden nuggets at the end of a speaking engagement. You can use that same thing. Like, what golden nugget are you leaving with today? Mm-hmm. What made it worthwhile for you to come today? Oh, that thing Jennifer said about, oh, that was it. It's like everybody here today, I'm not doing that at the end of these calls, but everyone's got something out of the day of like, oh, that's the thing I wrote down. That's what a golden nugget is. Oh, that thing of like, oh yeah, that's good. A resource, a thought, aha moment, you know? And so as long as you have your beginning, you figure out your middle and you have a way to end it. And maybe it's not the golden nugget thing. It could be at each meeting, the next person is assigned. Who thinks they're coming next time? I am. Okay, bring the quote that you're going to share with us for the end of the meeting. Just something to wrap it up.
Okay. Yeah.
So that you can all say goodbye and get off the call.
Yeah. I like this idea of like accountability. Like, what will you do? What steps will you take for next week? And then like, who's going to be there? And then like, when we come in the beginning, everyone announces what they've done and how they've done it. And
yeah, that's great too. In the power groups at the Actors Network, where I did power groups for 11 years there, every single month. And we had, everybody got 3 minutes on a clock.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And then you had 3 minutes to talk about what your past 30 days of activity and what you planned for the next 30 days. Uh-huh. And then we had Q&A. So You just go around 3 minutes, get a timer.
Timer.
And let the timer play until the person stops talking. They have to recognize that the timer's not for you. The timer is for them, because people don't have a good sense of what 3 minutes is to talk. Mm-hmm. Some people, their brains work in many different ways. Two of the most common ways are brains that are like, I can succinctly think about my thoughts and then deliver my thoughts. And then other people find their thoughts as they talk.
Yeah.
That's the harder person in the group, because you want to let them find their thoughts, but then we can't be here all day,
right?
Because they can get also very lost.
Yes.
And the point is like, what is the point? So putting a time limit makes it feel very fair, and they can use their minutes, however many you want to give them, wherever they want. If someone takes 3 minutes and never reaches a point and doesn't get there quite or whatever, hey, you're an adult, figure out how you want to use your time. Yeah. It's not my job. Yeah.
Okay.
They can do whatever they want.
Yeah. That's why I think the scariest thing is feeling responsible for another person's experience of, yeah. So if I feel like safer to have this kind of structure and be like, this is what we're going to do. Everyone knows what we're going to do. And this is in like next week and blah, blah, blah. And this week's going to be this. And yeah.
Yeah. Until you guys form a core that's been around for a while, then there can be a little more experimentation or whatever, but they are coming. Part of what will make them feel so relaxed is if you provide the structure, lead me. When I'm a part of a group, I'm just like, lead me. What are we doing? I am here. I'll do whatever. I've decided I want to be here. Yeah. And nothing makes me get more like, than a leader who's not leading.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't stand it. I don't want to do it. It's not like I come and show up and go, I should be leading. It's like, I don't want to lead, but I definitely need you to be competent at it for me to feel relaxed.
Totally.
Yeah. And it's yeah, that's what they want. That's what they're paying for yeah. you to come and lead them through, but you're not responsible for their feelings. And this is something that you're, that's a muscle you're going to grow as you do this. You know, what you are responsible for is a safe space, efficiently run, that does what you've said it will do.
Right.
Yeah. Not like a fucking book club where we never talk about the book.
Right.
Can't. Oh, so annoying. What are we doing?
Yes. So annoying.
So if we're here to do this, let's do it.
Okay.
Okay. So what if times five, what if you charged $135 per month?
Okay.
That's $45 a week for three sessions, $45 a session.
Okay. $45 a week.
I don't know. Just pick a price between yeah. 120 and 160 that you feel in alignment with. Like, okay. I can say that price and know that that is a deal. And then your job is to go find the five people who are already wishing for this. You have to believe there are five on it, ambitious moms out there who have literally been walking around going, oh God, I wish there was a group that did this. And then they're going to be like, oh my God, that is exactly what I was there. Uh-huh. Here's my money.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do believe it. Like, I'm like, I can, like a couple people came to mind and I was like, well, they know them people, other people. And like, mm-hmm. I have like a good mommy network. So yeah.
And you say to them, I'm looking for five. Ooh, okay. Because if you're looking for five, uh-huh. let them people know I'm looking for five, because there's scarcity in that. It's like, there's only five seats. I am starting this with five.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm ever going to open more seats. Because if you just go, I'm starting a group, people are like, it's just, she wants as many people as possible.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm starting an intimate group. Five. There are five seats. I don't know if there will ever be more seats than that. Can't promise.
So good. So good. Okay.
When people email you, you go and you feel like five, if you feel like five is great, then it's like, I'll put you on the waiting list. And if someone gives up their seat, I'll let you know. Mm-hmm. But you do want to say, I'm starting with five. There are five seats. I don't know if there's going to be more, maybe, maybe not. You want to make that very clear, because you don't want the five people in the group going, I thought there was only going to be five. I don't want any more people in the group.
I know.
You're going to be like, I'm starting with five. That's how many seats are right now. If you want in and get a seat to go on this experiment, let's go. And then if you're like, I love this and I feel like there could be 10, then you're going to open up five more seats and you'll probably lose somebody. That's fine. Because they don't want to be in a group of 10. They want to be in a group of five.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah. That's fine. That's fine. Yeah. And as long as you're open for people coming and going, then it's not personal. Mm-hmm. You're offering a tool and they're going to decide if it's a tool they need now and for how long they need the tool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's
it. Should I maybe like say like commitment monthly? So like a payment monthly payment upfront.
How do you want to do that? You could set yourself up in Stripe and then did you just recurring subscriptions until they cancel?
Okay.
Another thing that might make the admin of this, look into paperbell.com. That's for coaches, but you can set up like a recurring subscription through Stripe. You have to connect Stripe to them, but then you can also like email the group through there and like just have the list of all the people in the, like, you know, but you don't have to do any of that. You can just be like, here's the PayPal link. But I would definitely either have them pay for 3 months at a time, because that's less admin for you. And it's a commitment to the group.
Wow.
So it's not like you're not, you don't want to chase money every month. You don't want to be like, are you still in? Are you still out? No, it's like 3 months at a time. Or put your credit card here, cancel when you want. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, okay. I'm not going to think about it.
Cancellation. Yeah. Okay. Like automatic payment until cancel.
Mm-hmm.
I love that idea. That way people can try it, whatever.
Yeah. But try it for, but they're trying it. Yeah. The automatic thing. Yeah. They can try it and come. Yeah. So whichever. As far as the coaching, here's my thought on the, just the theatrical commercial. If I were you, I would brand myself, and I don't know which word I'm going to use, a word, but you could use a different word, that you run acting coaching, how to pop with 20 lines or less.
Oh.
Coach people who are working on 20 lines or less. Commercials, check. Your first couple co-stars where you have one line to like, what do I do with one line? Less than you think you do with one line, that's for sure. Uh-huh. But, you know, 20 lines or less. You need to memorize 20 lines or less, I'll help you. You need to pop, or whatever word you need to, like, you know, whatever the colloquial word is, 20 lines or less. Because I think that makes your increment of 15 minutes. I'm questioning, what is this thing with my hair? I'm questioning 15 minutes coaching. I think if you coached with someone before and you guys have your little language going, yeah, you can do 15 minutes.
Right.
But I'm wondering, maybe first time clients need to have 30 minutes. You guys can kind of get to know each other's rhythm. And so every first time client has to book a 30. And if you're going to do this, you have to use Paperbell, because you can just have your calendar. They can just do their sessions. They can pay you right through Paperbell. It's like, it'll just, you cannot do a service with micro payments like this and your scheduling. Because Paperbell will let them go in and go, oh, I can do it Wednesday morning. Ah, I got an audition. I can't do it when, good. Then cancel the appointment within 24 hours, like, and pick another time. Like, they'll be doing all the rescheduling, not you. You do not want to be sitting there. And don't, I mean, you can do whatever you want, but I highly recommend you don't run a business off of text. Texting your clients. My have them email you.
But yes.
Or if you're going to have your clients text you, then don't have them email you. You want all of your business communication in one place, because what will eat administrative stuff eats into your bottom line. It eats into your net worth. And if you're like, I emailed you and then they texted you back. So now do you email them back or do you text them back? And then, so you, now you're looking in like multiple places to make sure you're not dropping any balls. That's crazy making for the amount of money that you get out of a side business. So pick how much you're going to charge for 15 minute increments, 30 minute increments. I would brand yourself 20 lines or less. That's your specialty.
Yeah.
Boo, boo, those little roles, because little roles need to pop too, or because little roles lead to bigger roles. If you do your little role light, right, chances are the bigger ones will follow. And I help you get the little shit right. And you do your commercial right, that's money in the bank. Yeah. 20 lines or less. I think that's brilliant, actually. But I literally read your thing and I was like, that's what she should do. Because you have to cut through. Otherwise, you're just another
actor. Just the acting coach. The acting coach.
And the other thing I think that popped into my head is that takes your personal concern about, but I don't have an MFA. Who am I? Yeah. You're just coaching them on 20 lines of their theatrical or less. Mm-hmm. Now you do that great, you'll have clients who then careers grow. And of course, they'll come back to you.
Of course.
With the bigger shit, which you know you can handle. And now they don't care if you have an MFA because they just, nobody cares about your credentials if you solve their problem. You're the one. But I can understand being like, I'm an acting coach and feeling like, oh, but I don't have. So don't, because now you're the 20 lines or less girl. So I can't even compare you to my scene study coach. Like it's a whole different ball game.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And I thought about like money-wise already, like 15, I was going to do like a dollar a minute, you know, 15 or like $20 for 50. I don't know. $20 for 15 minutes.
And you're then not selling your time.
Oh.
Dollar a minute. That's making, you're planting the idea of time in their head. Oh. You're not selling your time. You're selling your fucking expertise that have gotten you 40 commercials and three running right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did you want that? I don't know.
I have no idea what to charge. I mean, I like,
well, think about it. Okay. Think about, feel into it. Yeah. Use what Karen Eileen was talking about. Your intuition. What does that answer have? And then your numbers. What is this going to be worth? Because you're going to be paying for paper bill every month, you know? So like, what's it worth to you? And then go find the people who think that's a great, because the other thing you have to look at, and this is what I would put in your marketing for that service, is like, the reason I have the service, I know, just, I would say this, I know you have a great acting coach. But you also have to buy an hour with that acting coach.
Exactly.
So if you have 20 lines or less, but still want to coach with it, let's do this. Let's make it pop.
Yeah. That's the whole reason too, for me. Like I usually just want like 15 minutes and run, you know, and on We Audition, it's like series regulars girl. It's like, just 15 minutes, blah, 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 back and forth. Done. Great. Thank you. You know?
Yeah. You in both of your businesses, I know not everybody in your mama's group is going to be an actor, but you're catering to people who are working or who want, who are ambitious and want to be working. That is your person who's like on it, prepared. You're not like, oh, no. That's not your, you're not growing someone from a seed into an acorn in a scene study class.
Yeah.
Coaching working actors who just want to be sharp. That's a good word for your marketing. Mm-hmm. Like, I am here so that you stay sharp. That's all we're doing. We want you to pop. We want you to stay sharp. We want you to maximize this opportunity. We want you to be memorable. That's another good word for your marketing. Like, that's it. That's what we are here to do.
Okay.
Yeah. And then if they're like, how do I put this on tape? You send them to Brandon. Put them on tape or whatever. Good.
Yes.
Good, Sarah?
Yes. Thank you.
Awesome. Anu, I have your question. You ready?
I am.
Okay. Ready. This multi-hyphenate woman writes, performs theater, civic theater practice, arts consulting regarding community engagement and social justice. She's a cash flow tiger and she's got some questions. She also has a victory. I began writing and singing. Yeah. And have applied to fellowships and got my latest rejection, which actually felt like a victory because it was a reminder that I shared more of my work and thinking with more people. Yes. Excellent. Excellent. So this is mindset questions. Let me read them. I was accepted unexpectedly into a month-long leadership development workshop online, and I was offered a scholarship to cover most of the tuition. I'm having a hesitation as to whether or not I should do it, if it makes sense for me, and if I actually need it or really just need more space to create instead. So that's the first question. The second one is, how do I think well about social media as a strategy to support awareness of my work as well as part of supporting my creative practice? So we'll talk about that second. Okay. This is because, okay. So the things we've already talked about with you before is how you can make any opportunity that comes your way a great opportunity, worthwhile. Because we often go, oh, should I go to this thing? Is it going to be worthwhile? You can make it worthwhile. Every opportunity is going to be a great opportunity because you will mine it for whatever it's worth. You will extract your golden nuggets. You do not waste your time. So knowing that, we cannot use worthwhile as a criteria. Well, off the table. What else is this? How else do I decide if this is right? Because it's fascinating. As you grow and as you really begin to master your crafts, you only get more random opportunities. I want you to have like 8 opportunities in your inbox. I want you to have the stress. This is the kind of stress I want. 8 opportunities every single week, more than you could possibly ever do. And those are the decisions you're going to have to make. But the only way that is fun, because people are like, oh, I just want to be really popular and get all the opportunities and all the money. It's like, yeah, but if you don't have the muscle built for that, that can be very stressful rather than fun. So this is interesting that last time we literally talked about like, I'm going to carve out time to do my stuff. And the thing that makes that easier said than done when you're a person like you is that these fucking random opportunities also show up. And sometimes the thinking can be, oh, but I have to say yes to all the opportunities. No. Or, oh, if an opportunity just comes and falls into my lap, it's a sign from the universe that I should do it. No. It can also be a sign from the universe of like, hey, did you mean that thing you said last month? Just checking where you're at. Should we give you these kind of opportunities or do you want other things? Like the universe is communicating with you. So sometimes the opportunity is so it can get a little more clear on what you really, really want because it likes to tempt you to see. I'm not saying that's what this is. This could be a really great opportunity. So how are you figuring this out for yourself?
Well, I think that the thing that has happened is that in my mind, I was like, you know, I think I need to say no to this and I don't really want to.
Mm-hmm. Because, tell me about the part that you don't want to say. Why don't you
want to say? Well, because it's like they gave me this scholarship. It's originally like $4,500 and I would just have to pay $500 and I have this other thing that could pay for that. And the feeling is that I want structure. I want something to help me with the leveling up of really being strategic business-wise. Mm-hmm. And this may or may not be able to do that. But I actually read one review of it and the person said, a lot of people were like, this is amazing. And one person said, you know, having gone through this, if I just took the reading list and then assembled my crew of friends and we systematically read through these books and really kind of were intentional, you could get the same thing out of it. And it's a really scattershot as to who gets into this. It's not, you know, it's a wide range of folks. And and I also just really, I met 3 times with one of the people who's like, you know, in charge of it or in charge of the admission part. And she was just so nice. I just like wanted to be friends with her. And I was like, I'll tell you about the art project when I'm done, you know, like, so there's some weird part where I'm like, I don't want her to be disappointed. And it's really dumb to like have that like be a criteria at all. But it just, my friend, I also emailed this too, that a friend of mine said a really cool thing about me, which they were like, it feels like you're flailing in the ocean and you're just trying to grab onto any structure you can, whether it's a trash boat or a tugboat or whatever. But the reality is, and they said, you're a fucking mermaid and you're in the ocean. So just be in the ocean, you know? If you have the ability to have the time, don't be scared of the ocean, you know? Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, I felt like I already got the book list. Yeah.
And how did they find you? I mean, if this is kind of unexpected and not something that you were...
It was that I applied for some professional development money and you have to give 4 options of what they could pay for. And so I was doing research and I found this and just, I was like, well, it's like more money than I would pay, but I'll just put it down and, you know, and then, you know, yeah, they don't even offer the like discounted $500 thing anymore, but because she was like really sad that I wouldn't be able to do it, she's like, let me just see what I can do. So it was just very like a sweet happenstance.
So how can I help you?
I think there's some place, probably it's to, that I doubt my own thinking and it feels like whatever I decide, it's just going to be the wrong thing. And I'm going to live with with regret. And that I know there's something of value in it, but And maybe I'm just not seeing this clearly enough.
And do you know the structure? Like they assign reading and then you talk about it? Like what's the
deal? Yeah, it's just like, it's like 100 people from all over the world. And then there's like groups of like, you know, 10. And you basically kind of really workshop stuff with each other. Uh-huh. And then they have some coaches, but it's really minimal. Like it's a lot of like who you're working with, mm-hmm. And the kind of conversations you can have with them. Mm-hmm. It's just, I think more than anything, it's like carving out the time to be able to put attention on, okay, I'm leveling up and I'm going to read these things and I'm going, you know, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's, but you know, Seth Godin, it's like,
mm-hmm. like Alt MBA.
It's that one. It's the Alt MBA.
Oh, it is the Alt MBA.
It is the Alt MBA.
Ah, okay. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know people who've gone through it. I am familiar with it a little bit. It's a thing. What do you think the odds are that you're going to be one of the smartest people in your group of 10?
I mean, I think for like probably what I'm the niche of what I'm interested in doing, like, I feel like there's a big likelihood, you know, I might even experience frustration at how like the coach might be facilitating stuff. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
That sometimes happens with me because I do a lot of facilitation stuff too.
Yeah. And here's the thing. You need more practice being a mermaid. And until you get that practice, I think you will go in to groups like this and help everybody else in your group. And you will get less out of it than they get out of it from being with you because you're so good at helping people. But you're not as great as extracting more for you. You're not good at the, we need to be a little bit selfish. Mm-hmm. And that's actually where you need to lean towards. Some people are good at that and they need to lead. They need to be in groups where it's like, yes, you need to be the rising tide that, right, you know, lifts all the boats. Also, you're not at a stage in your life, from what little I know, that you need to have a community and meet more people. And, you know, if someone was just like, I'm in a little corner of this world and I don't have access to people, and this would be, I can join and it's a lot of people, but also I'll meet 10 and I get to work through thoughts and things. That doesn't sound to me like what you need right now. You need less. All of our conversation so far has been less other people, more me is what you need and what you kind of desire at the moment. Mm-hmm. And I find it fascinating that this pulled all of your little strings. We're going to offer her a scholarship So now it's like, oh, they're giving me, and now I feel indebted. That's a little string that is pulled. Oh, this person was so nice. Oh God, I love nice people. Like, that feels good. A little string was pulled there. It's like, are you going to be tempted? It feels to me like that's the old.
Yeah.
And it's like, do you want to stay here or do you want to learn how to be a mermaid?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's sort of,
I want to be a mermaid.
You are a mermaid. You're meant to realize that and learn how to live like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. So what's the deal with social media that you're like,
I think it's those, that thing where it feels like I hide. A lot of people keep waiting for when I'm going to share more about what I do in whatever form, whether it's social media or not. And I do this thing where I'm in long stretches where I'm really intense about work, and then I drop off, like I am out of that sphere, and then I come back. And so there isn't a consistency. And so I feel like I don't know how to even think about social media in a way where I just don't overshare things that I'm going to regret later. And then also just, I don't know.
When in the past have you, can you give me an example of when you've felt like you overshared and was like, oh man.
Well, I mean, just in general, I kind of like talk to whoever and I'll just say things about myself. And then I'm like, I don't really, didn't really need to do that. And with social media, I don't know. I've talked about like stuff. It's not been bad, just like period cramps or something like that. But just being mindful of like, what about my art and how do I actually want to utilize that to kind of grow and put attention and, you know, so people can remember that I am existing in the world doing the thing that I'm doing and not make it hard for them to find me, because that's what a number of people have said. They've been trying to find me for whatever, this, that, or the other, and can't. And then it's like, finally I had a website after a while and, you know, stuff like that.
So I want you, here's what I would recommend. I want you to, and what social media platform is your preference?
Well, I was thinking about like Instagram and TikTok.
Okay. Sounds great. Stick with just those two. You now have a website. I want you to think of both of those as websites that are easier to update than a website. I just want you to think of them as websites. So I want you to be mindful, and we need to decide what those little mini websites are for. They're to share your art and your message. So I want you to journal a little bit about what is the art that you already have that you could share. Here's a clip from this. Here's a still from this. And let me talk. Oh, I did this thing. Bah, 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 bah. Just sharing who you are as an artist. And then if you're working on stuff and you feel like you want to share anything current, that's fine. But you could also just share past stuff. So you're using this to speak about your art and the message. So the second thing I want you to journal on is like, what is my message? Like, what is important to me that people hear about? What do I want them to know? Because maybe they won't get it through my art, so I can say it directly, you know, and you can reference the two of them. I did this piece and it was influenced by this, or you could take one show that you've done and come up with so many different things to talk about in it, because you're a person who does stuff that's multi-layered. It's not just like one thing. Okay, so your art and your message. And then I want you to pick three other people or organizations or just causes that you can spotlight and continue to throw the spotlight on them. So if I scroll through your social media, TikTok or Instagram, and, you know, read your last 6 months of posts, we haven't talked about how many that will be, but your 6 months, I will come away with like, oh, this is her art. This is her message. And she really is into like these three things: animal rescue, feminism, and blah, 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 like transgender rights, like whatever your things are. You have more than three, but pick three. Now I know where to file you in my brain. And I know that you're an artist that has awareness. It's not just like me on set, me on set, me on set, which there's nothing wrong with that, by the way, but that's not, it's in, this messaging and community runs through all everything I've ever heard you talk about. So it makes sense to me that you would keep throwing your own spotlight onto other things. And then you decide, there's five subjects. And if you just consistently did one post or one TikTok about each of those once a month, that's at least something. I want you to pick something you can be consistent at, but that the bar is so low that you can clear it every single month. Because that's just enough, five times a month. And the thing about Instagram now is, you know, everyone who follows you doesn't see your posts. Don't worry about it. That's not your business. Like, don't worry about it. We're not trying to get you to be 100,000 million followers. We want someone who hears about you to be able to find you and then to be able to get you. That's it. That's why consider social media platforms as another website. You can find me, because a lot of times people search Instagram for a person before they even search for a website. So be found. And when I get there, don't tell it to me about your period cramps. Talk to me about your art, your messages, and other causes that I should be aware of. Mm-hmm. That's how I would do it if I were you.
Mm-hmm. To be fair, the period cramps are connected to an issue around endometriosis. However, that's not the point.
That's fine. No, but that's okay then. That's okay. And you could also talk about them if your issue was in the realm of getting, you know, sanitary women's sanitary right. products in third world countries, because there's a whole thing about, you know, like, that's fine. But I'm just saying,
right, make it connect and be
take a little bit of the random out, because you have a personality, it will come through, and you can share little things that make the fun. Like, it's not like you have to hammer these messages, because we don't want someone to be like, "Woo, she's militant and serious." No, but it's like, we want to get you. And that way you can still have your life and yourself. You don't have to put yourself out there in any way you don't want to, but you do want to be found. Because that's how your people will be like, "Oh my God, I just discovered this mermaid." Does that help?
Yeah. Thanks, Christine.
Good, it's good, really good. Awesome. Guys, that is it. We're back on Sunday though. Woo-hoo! So just in case, just a reminder, when I get the questions in advance and I don't see any other hands raised, I just distribute the time going by just how much. So if you ever come and you also didn't do a question, if I see hands raised, I'll try to save a little time at the end. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't, but hopefully everybody got something from today that they could use. So I'll see you next week. Off you go. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
See you. Hi, Liz. Hi, Beth.